I've entitled the series, What Child Is This? You may recognize that to be one of the Christmas carols that we sang, and of course that is exactly where I got the title from. The words of this carol go, What child is this laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? After almost 2,000 years of some group of people on the earth celebrating Christmas, you would think that by now we ought to have an answer to that question. Jesus himself once asked his own disciples this very question. He said, whom do you say that I am? In Matthew 16:15. We'll not look it up, but that was a question that even Jesus raised to the people. Whom do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? What child is this? That is the question that is answered by Christmas. If you don't know by now who Jesus is, then stay with us the next 3 or 4 Sundays, and I'll tell you who Jesus is. Maybe a better question would be, what is Jesus? Rather than, who is Jesus? Now, sad to say, many Christians have little or no understanding of that question as to who Christ is, as to what his true identity ought to be. I have a magazine home that I got in the mail some time ago, and it listed all the cults, C-U-L-T-S, in America, and I found out there are over 50 cults in our land today that are in operation attracting people, primarily young people, to a different philosophy and different religion than that of Christianity. Although we are basically said to be a Christian-oriented nation, the cults are thriving in America. And practically every one of the cult religions today deal with this basic question, who is Jesus? And the people that follow these cults, they know where they stand and they know why they believe what they do when it comes to the question, who do you say that I am? Until we as Christians can honestly answer that question, our relationship with Christ and our stand as Christians is going to be easily taken out from under us. I believe a cult would have no way in the world of attracting someone who really could answer that question as a Christian, who is Jesus? You see, the reason the Christian church, calls them cults, they don't call themselves cults. They call themselves the true religion of the world. The reason we call them cults is because of the answer they give to that question, who do you say is Jesus? If they don't come up with the right answer, then we say, as Christians, you're a cult. So we classify every other religion on the basis of what they do with that question, who do you say that I am? Now, within the last month, because of the takeover of our embassy in Iran, and because they are holding the embassy workers hostage, America, probably for the first time, is being forced to examine a cult religion. You're hearing a lot these days about Islam, and I'm afraid you're going to hear a lot more about Islam. That is the religion of the Muslim people, a religion that was founded by a man named Muhammad. A lot of people today, the only Muhammad they know is Muhammad Ali, the boxer. Well, that's not the Muhammad that I'm talking about. This Muhammad felt himself to be the last great prophet of Allah. I can't go back into all the history, but the Jews worship Jehovah and the Muslims worship Allah, and it's the same God. They're cousins over there. The Jews and the Arabs are cousins. They have different religions. Now, Islam teaches that Jesus, see, here's that question to the Islamic people, to the Muslims I asked, who do you say Jesus is? They'll tell you. They have an answer for you. They know he existed, and they say Jesus was a prophet like Abraham and Jonah and all the other prophets, but he was inferior to Prophet Muhammad. Our Prophet Muhammad was the greatest of all prophets. Jesus was a minor prophet, and Muhammad was a greater prophet. But he was only a man that was a prophet. I'll throw in something else for you about the Muslims. They don't believe Christ ever died on the cross. They don't believe God ever had a son. They believe that Allah took Jesus to heaven prior to the crucifixion. You may ask, well, then who on earth was crucified? The Muslims say Judas disguised himself as Jesus and he was crucified. They got things all twisted up, don't they? But you're hearing a lot today about the Islamic faith. We call it a cult because it does not hold the right view, the Christian view, about Jesus Christ. Now, the wise men that came that day to see the baby Jesus, they tell us that he was a king. Well, there are a lot of kings, and there have been a lot of kings, and I guess there'll be a lot more kings in years to come. Is that all we can say about Jesus, that he was a king? Islam says he's just a prophet. The wise man says he's just a king. Now, I got this just recently, November the 30th, so that's pretty recent, of this year. It's coming up December the 9th. Now, that's just a few more days from now. I hate to mention it because I know all of you are going to do it. But anyway, I'm going to mention it. The headline reads, NBC Television is going to have a movie. It's entitled, Mary and Joseph, A Story of Love. It's a Christmas story. Now, there's no shock to you, is it? Now, the National Federation for Decency, I don't know who they are, but anyway, they are withdrawing their approval of this NBC movie, Mary and Joseph, which is going to be shown December the 9th. The reason that they are withdrawing their approval is because they say that the show is an apparent contradiction of what the Bible says about the birth of Jesus and the relationship of Joseph and Mary. The Reverend Donald E. Wildman, United Methodist minister who heads the National Citizens TV Group, announced the action after seeing a news release from NBC which stated that Joseph does not believe that God is the creator of Mary's child, and that he comes to her rescue by falsely admitting that he is the father of the child. Mr. Wildman said the Bible makes clear in Matthew that Joseph was told the child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. NBC taking the liberty to rewrite Holy Writ is an affront to millions of Christians. Well, that won't be the first time that NBC or anybody else has rewritten the Bible to suit themselves. But you see, morality has changed to the point now that we can make this a Christmas play. And that's tragic. Who do you say that I am? NBC says you're illegitimate child. Now there you go. Islam say he's a prophet. The wise men say he's the king. And NBC says illegitimate child. We don't know who the father is. And Joseph takes pity upon her and rescues her from shame and condemnation and decides to say lyingly that it's his child. But we don't know whose kid it is. Now, what does that say about Mary? She's a, I guess, 20th century example of womanhood. I wouldn't say that. But now you want to ask the question, who is Jesus? NBC tells you who she is or who he is. It also tells you what Mary is. Now others say that Jesus is nothing but the natural child of Joseph and Mary. Just an ordinary boy that was born to ordinary parents that later on in his life that God looked down and said, hey, that's a pretty good kid down there. I think I'll use him to be the Savior of the world. And so God adopts this kid of Joseph and Mary. Who do you say Jesus is? What is Jesus? Is he just a prophet, or is he a king, or is he illegitimate, or is he just a natural born child of natural parents? Who is Jesus? Now we ought to be clear on this as Christians in the church. There should be no question about our stand on who is Jesus. If you want to get yourself classified a cult, you get on this subject of who is Christ. Now the Bible in the Christmas story comes up with the answer. It leaves no room for debate, no room for speculation. It leaves no room for disagreement. It tells you in 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, clearly what Jesus was. Who Jesus was. Now, we as Christians cannot force everybody to agree with what they read in the Bible, but we can at least require that they tell it as the Bible says it. And that's all we Christians ask. Just keep the facts straight. And that's what the man was saying to NBC. If you're going to tell a story, tell it straight. You want to say, here's how I think it ought to be written, you can say it that way, but at least say that's not the way it's written. And you may not believe the story about who Jesus is, but at least tell us what the Bible says about Jesus. I think that's being fair. You can state your opinions all you want, but at least tell us what the Bible says. And so I want in the next several weeks to settle this issue from every angle, once and for all, as to who Jesus is. To do that, we have to begin at the very beginning. And this morning, very quickly, if I had time, I want to give you the testimony of the three people most involved. First of all, there was Joseph. Secondly, there was Mary. And thirdly, there was the angel Gabriel. Let's begin with these three folks. Let's see what they have to say about it. First of all, let's get Joseph's story. Eyewitness news. Huh? That's the way they want to do it. All right. Matthew 1. Not giving anybody a plug, but Matthew 1 now. Verse 18 and 19 tells a story from the side of Joseph. I think Joseph was a pretty honest fellow. And I might add, the news he got really shocked him. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this manner. When, as his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they had come together in marriage, it was discovered that she had a child, or was going to have a child. It was discovered by Joseph. That was a real shocker. You know, here was a girl he was going to marry, and all of a sudden he finds out she's going to have a baby. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband-to-be, now in the Hebrew culture, when you were engaged, you were already considered in some degree married. You were already called the husband, but in a sense it was the husband-to-be. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, the word just here means fair and godly, did not want to make of her a public example. He could have had her stoned to death. You see, the penalty for adultery was killing by stoning. Well, he didn't want to have that done to her. He thought a lot of her. Didn't want to take her out and say, this woman that I'm engaged to is immoral. He wanted to sort of keep it quiet. So he said, I'll just put her away private. That doesn't mean kill her. Just means he'll just sort of get rid of her. Put her out of his sight and out of his presence and just had nothing more to do with her. He'd break off the engagement. Let's put it that way. Now, what's the facts? Well, we know they were engaged, but they weren't yet married. We also know that up until this point, the relationship between these two people had been kept on a pure plane. Joseph was just and decent and honest and moral towards Mary, and she was the same way. And we find they were not living together, as you have a lot of folks today doing. They were not living together. And in a real sense, Joseph being shocked says, the baby is not mine. I make no claim whatsoever on this child she is with. It's not my child. Now, he makes that clear to the point that he is going to break the engagement and have nothing more to do with her. No matter whose child it is, Joseph said, it's not mine. Now, we know that from his story. Okay? Let's move on. What's Mary's story? Well, just go to the book of Luke, first chapter, verse 26 through 34. In the sixth month, that is the sixth month of the pregnancy of our cousin Elizabeth, she's only 3 months difference between John the Baptist and Jesus. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin who was engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. An angel came to her and said, Hail thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed are thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled. You don't always see angels, you know, and so here is one that came and told her she was highly favored. And the angel said, verse 30, Fear not, Mary, for you found favor with God. Well, that sounds great so far. What am I going to get? Well, verse 31 tells what she's going to get. And behold, you're going to get yourself a baby. What? And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, what would you do if you was a virgin, something like if you said that? What? You know, what are you talking about, man? And he shall be great, and thou shalt call the son the highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of the father David. And he goes on and tells about Jesus. And verse 34, Mary said to the angel, How can this be? I don't know a man. I have no knowledge of a man. And the angel answered, said unto her, the answer. Now let's stop at verse 34. Mary backs up Joseph's story 100%. When she says, I have known no man, she says, in a real sense, not only have I not known Joseph as my husband in relationship, I haven't known anybody. And also we don't find Mary saying to the angel, well, I'll hurry up and get married to Joseph so we can make this thing come true. She just simply says to the angel, How is this going to be? I mean, you're telling me an impossibility. Unless you know something I don't know. Oh, let's get the angel Gabriel's story. We have to quit with this one. Luke 1:28. And the angel said unto her, Thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 28. Then also verse 30. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Verse 27. The angel admits what? She's a virgin. Now, the angel's not stupid. He knows what he's talking about. And so he says, she's a virgin. She says she's a virgin. Joseph, he doesn't know. Now, surely these people know what they're talking about. They're not that dumb. In verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. I believe Mary understood that angel would be saying, Before I depart from you, Mary, this is going to already have happened. She didn't have time to go over and see Joseph. That's why she said, How's this going to be, man? What are you talking about? And the angel was saying, It's going to be now. Right now. And she said, How can that be? How can that be? The answer is in verse 34, 35. And the angel answered and said to her, She asked, How? The angel said, I'll tell you. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest God shall overshadow thee, and that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God. I can imagine Mary say, Huh? You asked me, I told you. All the angel said was that God's going to do something he had never done in all of history. He'd made a man without a man and a woman, Adam. He had made a woman without the aid of another woman, that was Eve, but now he was going to make a man without the aid of a man. That's a new twist. The angel really didn't tell Mary how the Holy Spirit was going to do it. He just said it was going to be done. And the angel told the same story to Joseph. Look at Matthew 1, and we'll close with this, 19 through 20. Then Joseph wanted to make her a public example. While he thought about how to get rid of her, the angel comes to him and says to him in a dream, Joseph, do not be afraid to go ahead and take Mary for your wife. This is the will of God that you go ahead and get married. For that child which is conceived of her is produced by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, I guess, said, well, oh, okay. What he was saying was, this child will not have an earthly father. He said it to Joseph. He said it to Mary. Who is Jesus? To begin with, He's different. He's different. There's something unusual about this child named Jesus, and we want to look at that as we go on in the Sundays to come. To begin with, he's different. There's never been another person born like Jesus. Father, we're thankful this day for the miracle that transcribed there almost 2,000 years ago between Joseph and Mary and the angel Gabriel. We understand how it was possible. We know that all things are possible to God. And we state what the Bible states, that truly Jesus is unique. He's not a man like any other man. And may we, as we look further into this question, what child is this? May we come to have a deep admiration and awe for the deity of Jesus Christ. For he is none other than God himself. Come to earth to redeem man. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.